Well, it's really good to be here, back with you guys again. I love the Sundays that I get to come here. I don't know about you, but each end of year, I don't really do resolutions, but just sort of look at the year ahead and have intentions. One of the things I like to do is participate in the White Stone ceremony, and I did that from the comfort of my living room this year. I went out in my yard and I found a white rock that had a smooth front, and so was able to participate. What I got was live the present. Okay, so I was a little bit, not confused, but just sort of, all right, I'm not sure I know exactly what that is. You know, I've heard practice the presence. I've said it up here a lot, but live the presence seems a little more assertive, doesn't it? You know, don't practice, do it. So I've been kind of having my mind open to guidance or whatever, and sure enough, Spirit comes through, or whatever you want to call God, whatever, and things have been coming along that help me with this idea of live your presence, what it is. Three things in particular have happened. So I thought maybe it might be interesting for me to share, you know, what I have picked up from the time I did this to now, and I do have a better idea of how I can live the presence. So I'll share that with you, and how I got here. Maybe it will be helpful for you. I hope so. Three things have shed light on how to do this. The first is scripture. I don't know about you, but often a verse or two will pop in my head from time to time. So that's been happening. Second was this little booklet that we got from Unity. It's called Five Principles for Spiritual Living. And it had some wonderful stuff in there. I'll share a little bit about that. And then the third thing that really got me to sit up and notice was that different modalities, so Unity and the coach training and another book that I've been reading, all are saying the same thing, but in different words. But it all has helped me to come to this place of being better able to understand how can I not just practice the presence, but live the presence. So for the first scripture that popped in my head was pray without ceasing. That too seems kind of demanding, you know, doesn't it? How do you do that? I mean, when I think of pray without ceasing, my first thought some years back, I confess, was the only thing I could even come close to seeing in the world that might be true of was monks. You know, they spend lots and lots of time in prayer and silence, and to a great degree, I think nuns also do that, but I certainly was not spending all the time in prayer. Prayer being that, you know, sitting in a certain place, saying certain words, being reflective, being silent, you know, just stopping whatever my day is about and praying. Pray without ceasing. That's what I thought of first. I also remembered that we teach in Unity, I believe. I'm not sure, this has been in there so long, I don't know where it came from, but every thought is a prayer. We've heard that? Okay. And that can be good, and that can also be kind of scary, can't it? Because you're like, oh my gosh, did my soul know what I just thought? Every thought is a prayer. Pray without ceasing, every thought is a prayer. But scripture really is good at giving guidance about what we should do. Because the Apostle Paul, who is the one who, by the way, asked us to consider pray without ceasing, he would go around and teach and preach and all that to different countries and write letters and so forth. So he had written that. He also, in Philippians, advised us on what we should think. And I think it's very powerful. So let me see if I can do that. This is Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. That tells us what my thoughts are supposed to be. And so I know then that I can catch myself when I'm thinking some of these not so pleasant things, maybe some criticism or some negative things or fear or any of that. Then I can stop myself and then move my thoughts over there because I do have that. So scripture has been very helpful in learning how I can pray without ceasing, how I can perhaps, at least partly, do this, live the presence. Well, then this booklet came. And I was still, I knew that I was going to be speaking here, so I was like, still trying to, what shall I talk about? And as I read the first one about principle one, I remembered my white rock and what I'm trying to do, and I thought, this is it, this is another help. So this little book, if you don't have it, if you haven't received it, what they've done is for each of the principles, they have ministers, people writing about each one of them. And this first principle, which as we know is God is absolute good, everywhere present. Absolute good, everywhere present. Three ministers have written about that. I'm not going to read all of that, but I want to touch on each of the three. The first is Reverend Elizabeth Longo. I met her when I was working on the field licensing team and admired her greatly. So she writes about, her article is titled One Presence and One Power, which we just prayed. And one presence, living the presence. So it caught my eye right away. Okay, there's presence. So as I was reading hers, she comes across very, very strongly wanting to experience God. It isn't enough just to know about God, just to go to classes and learn that God is like this and, you know, do these things. She wanted to experience God. She said, knowing about God wasn't enough. I needed the existential experience. So she does more stuff and went to India. I was in an ashram, and they do pray for extent, you know, and sit in silence for a long time. Anyway, at some point, she opened her mouth to say something, and as she did so, she had a mystical experience. It says, what I do know is that I felt at one with all of life, and in an instant, I knew that I was so much more than a body, my history, my experiences, and anything known. I was eternity appearing as me, and then everything returned to normal. So she had this mystical experience that was what she was looking for. It was experiencing oneness, experiencing the presence, experiencing God. She made a statement that I highlighted in here. It says, knowing that God is all there is. Think about that. Just let your mind ponder that. You know, I think it's especially relevant in these days when everywhere we look, there is something to be concerned about, the war, and just a lot of stuff that can shootings, all kinds of stuff. Knowing that God is all there is, it brings us back to a place, pray without ceasing, think on these things. This is how we can do this. The second article is by Reverend Kelly Asola. Kelly is the woman who converted our website when I first came, and she wrote this one. Living Oneness is what she titled this one. And she uses a scripture that Vernetta says all the time. She's talking about how can we understand God? You know, it's too big a concept for us to think about. She said, we catch a glimpse of this in the book of Acts. In him we live and move and have our being. She says that we, on an intuitive level, we know this. You know, this is not, you know how when somebody says something, or even if we say it to ourselves, if I say something that is totally different than my real experience, I use this a lot. I'm a 25-year-old man. And everything within me goes, no, that's not right. But when you hear truth, when you hear something that really seems right, it resonates within you, that we intuitively know some things. I've heard a phrase, body intelligence, and I think we have that, you know, because we can experience, this is right, this is true. We meet people, and there's sometimes a resonance, you know, we know things intuitively. She says, she has a perspective on this that I found very helpful and kind of inspiring. What she says is, most of us live oneness without even knowing it. It's anywhere that we naturally value and express compassion, love, being of service, listening, and belonging. So when we are out and about, pray without ceasing, every thought is a prayer. And some of the pictures in that last song were of that, of this kind of idea. When we are being love and expression, when we are showing compassion, when we are with another person, all of those things, we are living the presence. I love that. She says, it is always arising as something different depending on how we harness it, embody it, and demonstrate it. In other words, how we live and move and have our being. Yeah. And the third and the last minister that wrote about oneness, the first principle, is Reverend Lulu Logan, and her title is Meeting God at the Clothesline. She describes a time in her life when she often would find her life in chaos and just despair. And this particular day, she was hanging diapers out on a clothesline. Younger people might remember what clotheslines were like. Hanging those out. The day before had been a very difficult day for her and her family because the family pet had suddenly died, and the children were upset, and she was upset. She says, and she called out to God, asking for help. She says, I wept, I cried out to a God I wasn't fully sure existed, and if there was a God, I was positive he had better things to do than watch me cry at the clothesline. Oh God, I am totally unable to fix this. I am sick to death of trying to run my own life. I mess up everything I touch. Please help me, please help me, please help me. That was her prayer. Have you ever felt anything like that? Yeah, I have. So she said that she continued then to hang up the diapers, and she said, by the time she reached the bottom of the basket and began to walk back toward the house, she said, I felt a strange calm and sense of peace. And then something incredible happened that I would never forget. I literally felt a protective arm around my shoulders, supporting me and infusing me with peace. She said, though this incident is decades old, never again have I doubted the existence of God or divine care and love for me. She had one of those experiences like Reverend Elizabeth had, existential. She felt the presence of God. Powerful stories. And each, I think, gives a perspective on living the presence. Especially in The Lady with the Clothesline, I was reminded that it often, My background, my childhood was, I went to Sunday school. You know, my parents had Southern Baptist as their background. I went to Presbyterian. But at any rate, God was out there somewhere. That's the way I grew up. And I wasn't sure if I could catch God's attention. It was a he. You know, if I could catch his attention, if my prayer was worthy enough. You know, that whole thing. So it was a job, you know, when I found Unity to release some of those kinds of beliefs and to embody this idea of the presence. You know, God and I are one. I used to say that a lot. I still do. Eric Butterworth says, and I think it's, I go back to this a lot. He says that we are, in his book, The Universe is Calling, which is a wonderful book, by the way. He says that when we pray, we're not praying for God. We're praying for us so that we can change our minds, our attitudes, our way of being. And he said, when we pray, we don't pray to, we pray from the awareness of God within. God within. Which brings us then to these different modalities that I all of a sudden, it was the third one that went, wait, this is the same as this, and it's the same as this. Truth is truth is truth is truth, right? I was noticing, I'll start from the bottom. I was reading a book named by Betty Priest. Excuse me, and the book title is The Space Between Us, and it's about conflict resolution. And as I was reading it, and she refers to a deeper self, that each of us has a deeper self. And then I realized that, you know what, my coaching training that I had referred to a real self and to the voice of wisdom. Unity, we teach a higher self and the Christ self. And the thing that just went, oh, it's all the same thing. You know, there used to be a song, you can call me Frank or you can call me, you know, it's all the same thing, whether it's higher self, Christ self, real self, deeper self. It is that part of us, not like Butterworth says, not like a raisin in a bun, you know, but it is part of us that we are one with life. You know, we say God is life and love and substance and power and presence. We are part of that. So then as I thought about living in the presence, at this point here at the beginning of June of this year, I feel like I have a much better grasp on how can I live the presence, not just practice the presence, but live the presence. For me, it's remembering the truth with a capital T, of what I am, not who I am. Who I am is Sharon, I'm a female, I'm a mother, you know, that's who I am. But what I am is, as is true of each one of us, is I am a spiritual being. And as such, I am one with all of life, one with life and all that. For me, the presence is holding to the teachings that I find in Scripture, besides the pray without ceasing and the every thought is a prayer and think on these things. Jesus had lots to say about himself, which then I translate into, it is for all of us. When you see me, you see the Father. God and I are one. That's the way I translate that. The things that I do, you shall do these things and greater things than this shall you do. All of that to me is saying we are one. We are one. I am never alone. I find verses in scripture that tell me that reassure me I am never alone. The lady at the clothesline is not that different from me when I was saying, please God, please God, please God, please God. Yeah. I am never alone. And I have learned in this living the presence to trust that I have at all times, anywhere, access to that power, that presence. And then, just as I wish I didn't have to, but just as I have to dust my house, clean my house regularly, because dust gets on there. I can see it on the back porch because there's pollen, and when I have a little table out there and I swipe it and it's got that greenish yellow pollen, I have to clean that if I want to be able to keep it clear. Likewise with my mind, I have to clear out and clean out those thoughts that come in that I'm not enough, that there isn't enough, there's any kind of lack, those negative things where I begin to criticize or see or judge or any of those. I need to clean house and eliminate those so that I can get back to the pray without ceasing and think on these things, all of those. I feel like I have a better grasp on living the presence, so I would encourage you to join me in not just practicing, but living the presence. So, to prepare us for meditation, let's take time to repeat the Lord's Prayer, the words that Jesus taught us, and it is affirmative. It'll take us into a time where we can experience our oneness. So together, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If you haven't already, I would encourage you to, or invite you to, gently close your outer eyes, to briefly shut away all that has been, all that will be, and become fully present in this moment. We relax. We relax our bodies and our minds. We relax our bodies often by slow and deep breathing, which naturally allows the body to release and let go. And then we can consciously scan for places that might be tight. We might be holding on to tension or stress. And we let go, we release. Here in this time, in this place, we are safe, we are loved, we are secure. And we relax our minds, knowing that there will probably always be thoughts. We just view them sort of like watching clouds drift overhead. We notice that they're going by, but we don't latch onto them. We relax. Sometimes it's helpful to focus on the breath, just the breathing in and the breathing out. As we become still, it is much easier to once again find that sacred space of connection. That place where in the stillness we experience our oneness. And this morning, as we sit in this sanctuary, we realize that every person in this room is breathing. Breathing in, breathing out. We are all one. One community, breathing as one. Not only are we sitting here together in this room, this sanctuary, but we are occupying a space in St. Charles, in Missouri, in the United States, in the world. And we are a part of all of the other people breathing on this day, in this moment. In this recognition, we are experiencing oneness with the deeper self, the real self, the Christ self, the higher self. When we say namaste, we recognize and honor that space, that sacred space in each and every one of us. It is the one energy, is the way I think of it, one power, one presence. Reverend Karen mentioned the way of oneness is being love, and I certainly second that. As we consider all of these people that we are sitting with, breathing with, being with on this day, we allow ourselves to begin to exude love. We can feel it perhaps rising up in us from that sacred space of connection, filling us, filling our bodies, filling our room, our sanctuary, filling our city, our state, filling the world with love. Living the presence in this way is being of service, is being an expression of oneness, an expression of love and life and joy. And I'd like to take just a moment or two in silence for us to truly experience silence, oneness, being with all in the silence. I invite you now to begin to bring in your energy, to come back into your body, into this room, into this experience. And as we complete this time, we bring with us and keep with us this idea of being a part of oneness, a vital part, a unique part of all there is. And as we go forth, we are one and we live our oneness. We live the presence. We are grateful for our community, grateful for this time together, grateful for all blessings. We claim them in the name and through the power of that indwelling presence. And so it is. Amen.